It is not as sexy or as exciting as the Iranian arms deal, but it is in the long term and more important to the American people and the survival of our former government. I would also urge you and your media employers to work for the repeal of the death penalty, unless the test would be absolutely no doubt. I regret that on several occasions when I was a member of the legislature that I voted for the death penalty. As a result of what has happened to me, in this case, I am convinced that innocent people have been found guilty and have been executed. And 2 weeks ago, if you saw 60 Minutes, they discussed the Neil Ferber case in Philadelphia, where a person was convicted of murder and was on death row, and then was finally discovered he did not commit that murder. Around the turn of the century, the muckraking journalist Lincoln Steffens authored the book The Shame of the Cities. His book was largely responsible for much-needed improvement in the living conditions and working conditions of the slum dwellers in America's cities. Lincoln Steffens' journalistic goal was, quote, to see if the shameful facts spread out in all their shame would not burn through our civic shamelessness and set fire to American pride, close quote. Perhaps what America needs most now is another Lincoln Steffens, an author who will write a best-selling book entitled The Shame of Our Law. As my political career draws to a close, I want to thank the people who made it possible, beginning with the good people of Crawford County, who in 1964 had the faith to elect a 24-year-old as the youngest member of the General Assembly, and then the people of Crawford, Mercer, and Eastern Erie counties, who in 1970 elected me to the state Senate, thanks to the voters of Pennsylvania, who elected me treasurer in 1980, and in 1984 saw through the sham of the CT allegations and reelected me by a margin of 310,000 votes. In all, I participated successfully in 8 primary elections, 8 general elections, and 1 election for delegate to the Republican National Convention, which was my personal bicentennial project. And I'm on the last page now, and I don't have enough to pass out, but Duke, I'll leave this here, and you can make copies for the people. There's a few extra copies here right now. I thank the good Lord for giving me 47 years of exciting challenges, stimulating experiences, many happy occasions, and most of all, the finest wife and children any man could ever desire. Now my life has changed for no apparent reason. People who call and write are exasperated and feel helpless. They know I'm innocent and want to help. But in this nation, the world's greatest democracy, there is nothing they can do to prevent me from being punished for a crime they know I did not commit. Some who have called have said I am a modern-day Job. Judge Muir is also noted for his medieval sentences. I face a maximum sentence of 55 years in prison and a $300,000 fine for being innocent. Judge Muir has already told the press that he, quote, felt invigorated when we were found guilty, and he plans to imprison me as a deterrent to other public officials. But it wouldn't be a deterrent because every public official who knows me knows that I am innocent. It wouldn't be a legitimate punishment because I've done nothing wrong. Since I'm a victim of political persecution, my prison would simply be an American gulag. I ask those that believe in me to continue to extend friendship and prayer to my family, to work untiringly for the creation of a true justice system here in the United States, and to press on with the efforts to vindicate me so that my family and their future families are not tainted by this injustice that has been perpetrated on me. We were confident that right and truth would prevail, and I would be acquitted, and we would devote the rest of our lives working to create a justice system here in the United States. The guilty verdict has strengthened that resolve. But as we've discussed our plans to expose the warts of our legal system, people have said, why bother? No one cares. You'll look foolish. 60 Minutes, 2020, the American Civil Liberties Union, Jack Anderson, and others have been publicizing cases like yours for years, and it doesn't bother anyone. At this point in time...
The state treasurer of Pennsylvania shot and killed himself today during a news conference. R. Bud Dwyer recently was convicted of bribery. He said he was innocent. He criticized everyone connected with his case before making certain television cameras covered his suicide today.
Those present thought that he was going to resign. Instead, Dwyer took out a .357 Magnum. A few seconds later, he put the gun in his mouth and fired. He died where he fell.